Have you seen the robins are back? Who's seen a robin this year? I've seen 5 or 6 robins. I wish I could speak bird and hear that conversation. What are we doing here? We could be in Texas. I told you we should have stayed in Texas. The early bird gets what? The frozen worm, the snowbank. I thought of a poem by Elizabeth Cheney. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. So how did your week go? Was it a week filled with worry, anxiety? Did you have quiet time with the Lord? Did you pray? Did you pray this week? Any answers to prayer? Well, I hope that you have a thirst for prayer. That's my intention. I certainly have a thirst for prayer going on in my heart and mind, and I'm thankful for the times that I've enjoyed these past few weeks praying more and praying with more direction, I would say, in my personal prayer time. Paul Miller wrote the book Praying Life, and he describes 2 problems we have in prayer. He drew up this sketch. He's got this narrow path through a canyon. He said the one problem is we're not asking. And James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. Now, what a sad thing that you are a believer, you're a child of God, and you're not praying, you're not asking your Father for what you need. So that's one problem. The other problem is asking selfishly, where our prayers are not on target. James 4:3 says, you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives. Now, any good father, any good mother doesn't just give the kids whatever they want. It has to be just right. So what is the solution to these problems of not asking or asking selfishly? I think the solution is to ask good asking, asking that is fruitful, and that's what we're going to look at today. What is fruitful praying? That's our title today, fruitful praying, and we're going to look at John 15. John 15, that familiar passage. Let me just read the introduction. John 15, 1 to 3. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So we'll stop there and look at this. The key actors are Jesus. He's the true vine. God the Father is the vine dresser. The followers of Christ, they are the branches. Some call this a parable. Some call it an extended metaphor. And remember that in the Old Testament, it was Israel that was the vine. But they were not the true vine. They were wild. They were unfaithful. So Jesus here is the true vine. He succeeds where Israel failed. Jesus is the source and supply for all true spiritual living and the source of all of God's blessing to the world. The vine dresser is God the Father. God is the superintendent of the garden. It is his business to grow the Christians. And look how actively involved God is in our growth. I take great comfort in that. God is very active in our growth. And God expects spiritual fruit. And God will go to great lengths to see us grow and bear fruit for him. The branches, that's us. We are dependent on the vine. We're also dependent on the vine dresser for our life, for our fruitfulness. And branches need a lot of attention. They have to be pruned. They have to be cleansed. They have to be sprayed. They have to be cut back. The branches go every direction. They need to be lifted off the ground and secured on the trellis. They need to be up in the sunlight. So they draw all their nourishment from the vine and not from anywhere else. I am the true vine. God is the vine dresser. You are the branches. This is the way spiritual life works. And this is the final I am statement of Jesus in John. And remember this, these are some of Christ's final words, because he's teaching these things on Thursday before Friday, the day of his crucifixion. So these are some of his final instructions to his disciples before his crucifixion, his death and resurrection. So I think he's promising them, in what they're about to go through in the next few weeks, he's promising them that there will be life after death. There will be life after Christ's death and resurrection. Christ will remain in them. They will remain in Christ, even though they're scared and scattered and they're running in every direction. There will be life still in Christ, and that spiritual life will continue to flow in and through us, the branches, and we know that happens by the work of the Holy Spirit. So now, with that as an introduction, let's read the rest of this passage. Verse 4, Jesus says, "Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, but must remain in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown away like a branch and dries up, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." Verse 7, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love." Verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." This is God's word. Thank you, Father, for these wonderful final words of Christ before his death and resurrection, reminding us that spiritual life goes on through Christ. Because of his resurrection, because of his ascension, because of his pleading with us today at the right hand of the throne of God, his invitation to come and bring our requests to him boldly and confidently, we can enjoy joy today, your presence today, your help today as we continue to walk with you. And I pray you would fill us with that urgency, with that longing to walk with you and abide with you, even this morning and this week. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to talk more about this metaphor of the vine and the branches and the promise it has for us for a more fruitful prayer life. So first, there's a command here. And we don't want to miss the command, because the command is necessary for fruit, and that includes the fruit of prayer. Verse 4, here's the command: "Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, but must remain in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me." So the command here is for fruitfulness in prayer, and it is remain. You see that word remain 10 times in these 11 verses, so remain is the big idea. Now, some translations say abide in me. Others say dwell in me. Others stay united with me, live in me. It's the same idea. Abide is not some mystical emptying of yourself or your personality. It just means this ongoing intimacy with Christ. Christ is not to be viewed as our eternal life insurance agent. You know, where we see him one time, we sign up, we get eternal life, and then they never see your life insurance agent again. He is the one who brings us eternal life and maintains that life in us every day of our lives. So it is a dual abiding here. We remain in Christ. Christ remains in us. It's ongoing. And what little I know about vineyards is that it takes a long time to produce mature and ripe and sweet grapes. The branches are wild. They grow like crazy at first, and they produce nothing. They're all leaves, no fruit at the beginning. So they have to be tended. They have to be cut back severely so that they will mature. But a wise vine dresser can get more than 50 years of fruit out of a grapevine. Did you know that? 50 years, more than 50 years of sweet grapes year after year after year, if the vine dresser can do what he needs to do. So I just think the vine and the branch is this picture of a patient, persistent, faithful Christian. It takes years to get there. Remaining in Christ is a call to a long walk with Christ in the same direction. A long obedience with Christ in the same direction. That's the vine and branch illustration. That's the key to fruitfulness. I remember when we had kids abiding in our house. Everybody ate dinner at the same time around the table. We read books together. We played together in the backyard. We watched movies together. There was just one screen. We all watched one screen together, a movie together. We were relationally connected as a family. We were abiding, but we didn't really have to work hard at it. I mean, they were kids. We were the parents. We were in the one house, and we were abiding. We were doing things together. Then the kids got older, and the abiding got harder because everybody gets busier and going in different directions, and it got harder to get everybody around the table at the same time for a meal. And now Cindy and I were empty nesters, so if we want to abide with our family, we have to work hard to get everybody together. We have to be intentional, and the planning is incredible to make those times happen. So don't get the idea that our abiding in Christ is just going to happen. You have to be intentional, brothers and sisters, to abide and stay close to Christ. And then even when we do get all together and the whole family is together like we had Christmas time, it's still challenging because everybody takes out their phones. It's like we want to be connected, and it's just so hard to stay connected. So, brothers and sisters, the command is to stay connected to Jesus. You have to be intentional about that, or you'll start to drift, and you won't grow like you want to, and the fruit will not be there in your lives. So, J.C. Ryle, he said, to abide in Christ means to keep up this habit of constant, close communion with him, to be always leaning on him, resting on him, pouring out your hearts to him, and using him as our fountain of life and strength. I love that. And then he goes on to say, abiding means keeping Jesus as our chief companion and best friend. So is Jesus your chief companion and best friend? That's what it means to abide and to be close to him. And of course, that means communication. That means prayer. Prayer is a big key in abiding in Christ and staying close to Him. Just like Jesus. Remember when Jesus walked this earth, He stayed in constant contact with His Father. Oftentimes, many times, He would slip away from the crowds, from the disciples, to do what? To pray, to talk to His Father in heaven. That's what we need to do as well. Oh, secondly, down in verse 7, there is a condition for fruitful prayer. Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So there's the word ask, but before that word ask, there is that word if. If you remain in me, and then there's explanation here. My words remain in you. So we have a better indication of what it means to abide in Christ. That means His words are richly dwelling in us. That's the scripture. So Christ and the Word of Christ must abide in us as conditions for fruitful prayer. It is the abiding Christian that's immediately invited to pray. It's the abiding Christian that is ready to pray. Ask whatever you wish. Who's the you? That's the abiding Christian. Now, why are abiding Christians so encouraged to pray? I think it's because the abiding Christian knows what to pray about because they are relationally close to Christ. And when you abide, your wishes become His wishes. Your prayers become His prayers. Your asking becomes His asking. You and Jesus are on the same page about things. And that protects you from these errors of not asking and asking selfishly. I'll try to illustrate this with a story that happened to me in high school. I was a senior in high school, and when I was a senior, I took a half a day of VOTEC training at Wright County, VOTEC, and then went back to regular school in the afternoon. I wanted to learn how to fix cars. I thought it would come in handy. I thought the Lord was calling me either to be a missionary or a mechanic, and I thought, well, these two will be handy. Either way, it'll be handy, because missionaries are always fixing things. So I started to purchase tools, and then I wanted an engine analyzer. And those things are expensive, so I found one for $110. I'm a senior in high school. All I had was $90. But I wanted that analyzer because I knew how to fix stuff, and I wanted to fix stuff. And I remember the morning I prayed, Lord, do you want me to fix cars? Then show me, help me. I want this engine analyzer. Just help me out here. That was kind of my prayer. I lifted up my eyes, and there was a car broken down at the end of my driveway. I thought, oh, I guess the Lord wants me to fix cars. So I took that as a sign, and the Lord does that. He does that, just those little Easter eggs, I call them, to give you confidence that you're on the right track. Now, my dad was a pretty stingy old Swede. He was a penny pincher, but I got the courage to ask him, Dad, would you help me buy this engine analyzer? So he said, let's go. So we got in the truck. We drove to Monticello. We looked it over, and Dad said, let's get it. And then he said, let's get a timing light. Because I thought, now what happened to this old Swede? What moved him? And, I found out he wanted these things too. He had always wanted an analyzer and a timing light. So when I asked him, I was like, yes, I get to use that too. So we were on the same page. And we both wanted the same thing. So he was so willing to help me. And I think something like this is going on when you are an abiding Christian. You pray more in harmony with God's wishes. And an abiding Christian prays more for things like Jesus would pray for things, like more disciples. Jesus prayed for the disciples. Remember that? Before he chose them, he was spending the night in prayer. He prays for the lost sheep. He prays for endurance in trial. I mean, you never read about Jesus praying for a house or a wife or where do I go to school or whatever. You don't read like all the things we're praying about. He's not praying about those things. Not that those things aren't important. They are. He's praying for his purity, his mission, his holiness. He's praying for God's glory, God's kingdom, God's will, God's name, just like we talked about in the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. So let's go back to that illustration earlier. I think the solution to these problems of not asking in prayer or selfish asking in prayer is to ask in a good way, good asking, and that comes from a life of abiding in Christ, drawing close to Christ and just knowing what the Father would want us to pray about. So finally, let's look at this consequence of fruitful prayer, verse 8. Verse 8 says, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to me to be my disciple." So this verse, verse 8, is full of surprises. Look at all the good consequences listed here and further down into the passage. First, God is glorified by this. This refers to verse 7. It means that we can glorify God when we remain in Christ and remain in His Word, and we glorify Christ when we have answers to prayer. I love that. It's so hard sometimes to figure out what that means to glorify Christ. Well, here we have a picture of what it means to glorify Christ. Answered prayer glorifies God. Now, does that just not seem like a great motivation for us to pray more and to pray abiding prayer so that our Father can be glorified? There's other good consequences here. It mentions much fruit. The language in this passage goes from fruit in verse 2 to more fruit, to much fruit. There's an escalation of fruit here. And it just shows that our wise Father is a good vine dresser, because He's going to get as much fruit out of us as He can. God the Father will get as much fruit and glory out of us as He can. And there's other things here besides glorifying God and answered prayer. Verse 9, there's the fruit of His love. Verse 10, there's the fruit of a greater obedience, because when we love the Lord, we obey Him more. And then verse 10 is the joy verse. There's joy, joy in the abiding and giving glory. And what a joyful thing it is for a believer to have an answer to prayer. I got a text yesterday. Let me just read you part of it. "Thank you for your prayers for our family. God is doing some great things right now. Healing is taking place. 1, 2, 3, 4 exclamation marks. Joy. Joy from answered prayer. And there's also a special gift for us here, proof. Fruit means proof. We are His disciples. And one of the great gifts we enjoy by abiding, remaining in Christ, that fruitfulness, is assurance of our salvation. So in summary, when we, the branches, when we remain connected to Christ, when we walk with Him through thick and thin, there is fruitfulness, there is love, there is obedience, there is joy, there is proof that we are His children and He's working in us and we're bearing much fruit, and we know we cannot produce these things. We know that God is producing these things in us. Joy, joy, joy. So I have a final question. How do we apply this teaching now? Should we be asking this question? How can I get more prayers answered? Is that the question? How can I get more prayers answered? No, I think there's a question before that that's a lot more important. The question we should be asking now is, how can I, this week, this day, remain in Jesus, and how can His Word remain in me? How can I stay relationally connected to Christ? So that I am in Him, He is in me, and prayer flows out of that relationship. So this is one of the keys to prayer, is getting closer to Christ. Getting closer to Christ. So let's pray about that. Father, we pray today as You bring this burden to us to pray, that we would be people who get closer to Christ. May we not be distant from You, our Savior, our Lord, our King. Draw us close to You. Help us to abide in You. Help us to remain in You. Help us to be communicating with You, praying to You about all the things going on in our lives. And may the fruit of that close, loving relationship with Jesus bring about new life in us. More answers to prayer. And more glory to You. In Jesus' name.